Just after 12 noon, welcome to the Midday on WPR. I'm Peter Bryant in for Norman Gilliland today. We have, as always, today's quiz question coming up at 12:30. Don't miss that. You might win a prize if you get the answer right. Between now and then, though, a couple of special guests in the studio, part of the Madison Early Music Festival. We have Tina Chansey and Priscilla Herod. Good afternoon.
Hi. Hi, nice to see you.
They're good sports working in our small, very tiny studio, which we're using while our main studio is being rebuilt. But they have brought some instruments along, and will play a few pieces for us, which will be fun. They're very beautiful. But first, just a quick hello, and maybe give us a framework for the festival and what's happening right now, because it's underway.
Yeah, we're on day... Three.
It starts on a Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Classes got underway yesterday, and there are classes all morning and afternoon, all the way from Sunday into Friday, and concerts every night by groups like us, coming from other places, coming here, converging on Madison to do different concerts. And then there are also participant concerts of all sorts. Mm-hmm.
Lectures. And it's wonderful because, well, not only do we get a chance to hang out because we're all, the early music land is not enormous.
Right.
And so it's nice to see everyone. But all of our friends are doing interesting things. And so we get a mm-hmm. chance to hear what they've been doing. And the new concerts, we've been seeing some really exciting ones, I think.
It's a great time. Yeah.
And the festival, the Madison Early Music Festival, has a great website with lots of info about that, which you can find online.
Yes, www.madisonearlymusic.org.
There you go.
Yes.
And go ahead.
Well, tomorrow we're giving a concert, which is, I think, why Cheryl wanted us to come here. And it's we do something a little different with our group Hesperus. We do music for silent films, but we don't do music from the time the film was made. We do music from the time the film was set, which in this case is The Hunchback of Notre Dame, which, of course, is especially feelingful for so many of us who've been there. And this was the story, the Victor Hugo story, which was, it was a movie, it was made in 1923 by Lon Chaney, who, I think he wears 50 pounds of braces and hump and, you know, a kind of a leotard of animal skin and hair. And it's just remarkable, and he is the hunchback. And we're playing music. Actually, we're playing 14th century music, even though it was set in 15th century, because 14th century French music is wonderful. It's exciting. It's pathetic. It's passionate. It's just great music for the film.
And is that what you have some of to play for us?
You know, we do. And the instruments are a little different than people usually see, especially even in an early music context, because we're not just playing Renaissance instruments. I'm doing some that are medieval as well.
What you have now looks like a viola da gamba, small.
You know what
kind of cello?
Does.
What is that exactly?
Well, it's called a viol, V-I-E-L-L-E, and it was played in the Middle Ages, and it's you know, it's a flat back. It looks kind of like a guitar body. Mine has five strings, which are made out of sheep gut, which is a bad thing to make strings out of when you've got changes in temperature and humidity. But what can you do? And this is what was made in the past. And the bow looks a lot more like a bow and arrow than you might think. It's a stick with hair tied at either end. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
And I'm playing various sizes of recorder. I'll be playing a soprano size in this next piece that we're about to play.
Mm-hmm. And this is called Parmente Fouet. It's a piece by Monsieur Vaillant. And it's funny because it's the tune and the bottom part were captured by Oswald von Wolkenstein, who set words to it and decided, it's about May, but it's actually about birds. Yeah. So let's play a little of this. Thank you.
It's lovely.
Yeah, it's a great one. That's what we used to open. And the film starts out with a mammoth street scene. In front of the cathedral, they're having a feast of fools. And as we meet each different character in the film, they each have their own melody. So it's it goes from there. You see Quasimodo, you know, the bell ringer. You see Esmeralda, the gypsy girl. And you see the head of the beggars. And you see Don Claude, the priest. And it's a nice bunch of folks.
And Tina has set up this opening kind of pastiche with all these different musical cues that go for these characters, sort of like little leitmotifs. Mm-hmm. And sometimes when they come, when you'll see them later in the movie, you'll get this musical cue to go, oh, right, that's the good guy, or that's the bad guy, or that's Esmeralda. And it's really amazing.
As far as you know, has this been done before for this film?
People accompany silent films in so many different ways. In the past, people would improvise either free improvisation on a keyboard. Or I found this when I was living in Cleveland as a kid. I found a book of silent movie tunes, and they were each titled things like Love Tune and Indians and party tunes and chase tunes. And so people might take tunes that were pre-written and just improvise over a tune like that. But these days people do all sorts of things with silent films. I think we're the first ones to do early music.
And remind us, when is this performance for the film?
It's tomorrow.
This concert, yes, it's Tuesday, tomorrow at 7:30 p.m. at the Meadwitter School of Music in the Mills Concert Hall. And there is a pre-concert lecture given by Tina Chansey sitting right here at 6:30 in Morphy Hall, which is just across the hallway.
Mm-hmm. I talk a little about how the film was made and how we've set the music to it.
And again, this is part of the Madison Early Music Festival. Tina and Priscilla are here to talk about it and also play some music for us. And you have a bit more. What's in your hand now? I've never seen this before.
Yes, before Priscilla and I play another tune, I thought I'd introduce an instrument or two. This is called, it has a few names. It's called a quimanche, which basically just means fiddle. And its actual name is the lira pontica, or the pontic lira. It's from the Pontic Islands in Greece. And I call it the kvetch because it's a very sad instrument. But it's wonderful. In the film, there's a gypsy. She started out a noble woman, and her daughter was stolen. And she became a hermit. And there's a plot twist in there. But this instrument... See, it's a very feelingful instrument.
And it looks like a kind of miniaturized violin that's been made very thin. It's maybe a foot and a half long and has, what, three strings?
Three strings, also sheep gut, though. Usually they're metal. And this was, I got this instrument under shady circumstances from someone at the Schola Cantorum who was wandering around trying to sell an instrument to New Yorkers, New York musicians. He was looking for some travel money. And I wanted one of these. I'd never had one before. And he said, here, do you want to buy this? And I said, how much is it? And he said, how much have you got? Which should have tipped me off. So I bought this instrument. Later on, I went to a conference and somebody from the Schola came up and said, oh, there it is.
Oh.
Yeah, that was a little strange.
A practical question.
Yeah.
When you're doing something like performing music for a silent film with these instruments in a large space, do you amplify them? What do you do to manage the environment? Or do you have to?
You don't really have to. Mm. Most halls are resonant enough that people can hear them. And it's surprising how much that little one carries. You wouldn't think so. But also what happens is that we're facing the audience. We're looking into a monitor, seeing the same thing that the audience does, but we're facing them so they can see what we're doing, which is really helpful. And some people say they don't know which is they want to watch, the movie or the instrumentalists. And I like that. Some people think that silent film music needs to be, you know, really receding. But I like a partnership. Mm-hmm. I like it when both things are interesting and active.
Because ideally you sort of enhance the dialogue that you see but you don't hear. So this idea, again, of characters being, or music being associated with characters can bring people in. And we've had a couple experiences where you'll see someone coming around a corner and we start playing their music. And before the people see them, I've heard, or a boo or a hiss from the audience. Yeah. And I just think that's the best thing ever because it's bringing people in on multiple levels.
How about another piece?
Great. Salt Trail.
Yeah.
This may be a first for the festival, maybe even for this music period, in that you're using a trash can to be a music stand.
Yes.
But that's
it's a medieval trash can.
It's what we have to do in this tiny space.
It is. It's true. And Priscilla is kneeling by the trash can.
Yes. It feels great.
Okay. And you'll be playing another recorder instrument.
Same recorder in this case. I do, in the movie, play a couple of different sizes, and I have a handful of other woodwind instruments that I play that are a little more off the beaten track for regular concert goers, possibly.
What would show one of those, yeah.
Yeah.
And what would that be used for in the film soundtrack?
That's an amazing scene where, correct me if I'm wrong, Tina, they built a two-scale model of Notre Dame at Paramount Studios.
They did.
And Lon Chaney, with his 50 pounds of costume and ridiculous makeup, scales the entire thing and climbs down, jumping on gargoyles.
And there are statues. They have all the original statues. And,
it's amazing. And so that's painting that whole descent down the cathedral as he lands on the ground.
Yep, he's bouncing around in time.
Yeah, it's an amazing scene. Amazing scene.
Well, I wanted to show you this.
Let me just mention, in case anyone's just joining us, Tina Chansey and Priscilla Herod are here from the Madison Early Music Festival and talking about some events going on. The festival's underway. You can find out more information about it online. And also, they've been talking about an interesting performance that's coming up where they will accompany Lon Chaney's silent version of The Hunchback of Notre Dame with music more or less from the period in which the story is
close
set.
Close enough, yes.
close enough. Which is a really interesting idea. Mm. I have to think Lon Chaney would have thought that was pretty neat.
I would think so. Well, you know, we've done 8 of these different films, Hesperus, in various configurations. The 4 of us have 2 DVDs of these already. We have The Mark of Zorro and Robin Hood, which are both Douglas Fairbanks films.
And how do audiences respond to this typically?
Oh, well, they love it. Yeah. I can't think of a bad response, actually.
No, and one of the fun things that we've found is that when we do these, you know, quote-unquote concerts, they both bring in music audiences and film buffs. So we've managed to sort of evangelize early music a little bit to these different audiences that might not normally just show up at a concert of 14th century French music.
I don't know why, but
it also normalizes these instruments and this music because it's just accompanying this film, and you don't even need to know necessarily that these instruments are not modern instruments. You're just going to see a movie with music that's accompanying it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We find that with orchestral music, for example, that people who may not warm up to the idea of hearing an orchestra, they enjoy the music in the context of a film,
sure,
because it's an environment that's very comfortable, and a lot of orchestras have had great success,
yes, great success
playing
yeah.
live soundtracks. Mm-hmm. This is a terrific idea.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, cartoons. I mean, we all started listening to classical music and cartoons.
Right.
You have another instrument in your hand there.
I do. And then Priscilla gets to show hers. This is called a rebec. It's actually one of the ancestors of the violin. It's pear-shaped back and a sloped gourd-like body. And you can't put it on your chin, under your chin, like a violin because it slides around. So if you look at angel paintings, especially Christmas cards, right? There's mm-hmm. angels holding the rebec.
That's right.
And they held it, sticking it into their armpit, which didn't matter because they were angels. And this is Esmeralda the Gypsy. This is her tune.
I imagine some listeners will think that sounded like bluegrass a little bit, but I suppose it's the other way around, really.
Yeah, you know, a dance is a dance. And there's so much dance music in the Middle Ages. That was written by Jehan de l'Escurel, who was hung for debauchery. But before that, he obviously had a lot of fun.
That explains bluegrass to me. Is that instrument considered an ancestor of modern-day instruments? Like, to what degree are these predecessors of violins, violas, cellos, and so on?
I'd say more of a general degree than something specific. You bet. You got something with a rounded bridge and some strings and a bow. And, of course, you know, they're going to lead to what people play today. But nothing really specific until you get to the Renaissance period, where you have instruments branching off in different styles.
Well, Priscilla has something very different, and we tested this earlier and decided maybe
it won't hurt you.
It would overpower the room if we tried to play a piece with it, but you can at least demonstrate it.
Yes. I'm holding a shawm, which actually is the ancestor of the modern oboe. This is a Renaissance, slightly late version of the shawm. And this you would also see in some angel paintings. It's held, unlike an oboe a little bit, it's held at a 90-degree angle from me and has a really a prominent bell. So you'll see angels in tapestries playing shawms too. And I play this. This can be a beautiful courtly instrument, but it has a lot of power. So in the film, we use it at the scary scenes. We use it when the hunchback gets flogged.
Yes.
We use it when the soldiers come in to break things up. It has a very military feel. So this is a little bit of the shawm. And that is the 16th century oboe.
Very nice. We have time, I think. You're going to play another?
Well, there's maybe the crumhorn.
Well, there's also another instrument whereas the shawm is a double reed instrument, just like the oboe, the crumhorn is a double reed instrument also, but it's hidden, the reed is hidden underneath a cap. So it has a couple of very prominent limitations. It has no dynamic range, and it only has 9 notes. But what it does very well. That's the crumhorn.
It looks like an umbrella that's missing the
that's our
the fold-out part.
The crumb of the crumhorn, yes.
Yes, it's the one that people laugh about a lot.
Yes.
The instrument.
Yes, unfortunately.
Well, we have time, I think, for one more piece, if you want to play that.
I do, yeah.
Then let's do the jig thing.
Yeah, we'll have time for one more piece. We'll mention again the concert, and then stay with us here on WPR. We'll have today's quiz question coming up at 12:30 as midday continues. So what's next?
Well, this is the king's tune, okay? And the king is kind of silly. So it starts out as a processional, orientis partibus. But then when it gets silly, we go into bum ba dum ba da da da.
Again, that's part of music that will be featured as a soundtrack to a showing of the Lon Chaney silent film version of Hunchback of Notre Dame. And again, remind us when this is happening.
This is happening tomorrow night, Tuesday, at 7:30 p.m. at the Mead-Witter School of Music in Mills Concert Hall. And there's a pre-concert lecture at 6:30 in Morphy Hall, just across the hallway from Mills, with Tina Chansey.
And this is all part of the Madison Early Music Festival going on now, and again, you can find them online.
Yes, because there's a number of different other things happening during the week.
Yes, it's a wonderful, full, satisfying days, and you can find all the information at www.madisonearlymusic.org.
That would include ticket information, other events, and that kind of thing. Well, Tina Chansey and Priscilla Herod, thank you so much for coming by. It's been really interesting.
I wish you enjoy your new studios.
It's one time when I wish we were TV so people could see these beautiful instruments. But
yes, well, I guess they're going to have to come.
That's right.
That's
good
right.
Point.
Okay.
Well, thank you. Stay with us. Coming up in just a moment, today's 12:30 quiz question on the midday.